Welcome to the Scottish Football Marketing Podcast with your hosts Michael Bockel, Digital Manager at the Scottish FA, and Chris Sampson from Sports Marketing Scotland. On this podcast, we cover social media for lower and non-league teams. While the focus is on clubs at a lower level, there are plenty of takeaways for clubs throughout the SPFL. Our guest is Michael Park, who does social media for BSC Glasgow and the Lowland League. Michael's a very committed individual, sacrificing a lot of his own time to cover BSC and the Lowland League. I came away from recording this podcast with Michael full of admiration for what he does. His talents lie in design, which is evident if you ever see any of him from BSC or the Lowland League. Not every club will have someone like Michael producing graphics at that level. However, we made sure to make this podcast as practical as possible. There are plenty of tips towards the end. As always, you can subscribe to this podcast via the usual places, and you can follow Michael Park on Twitter at BeQuietMichael. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the Scottish Football Marketing Podcast. I'm Chris Sampson from Sports Marketing Scotland, and with me as ever is Michael Bockel from the Scottish FA.
Hello.
We have been planning this one for a couple of weeks now. We've got Michael Park, who does some very good work with BSC Glasgow and the Scottish Lowland League.
Thank you very much.
We are kind of framing this as a Lowland League, non-league special, if you like, mainly going through some of the things that Michael does on a day-to-day basis, on a weekly basis, and on a regular basis as well. So we've got a fair few questions. Michael, anything to add before we kick off?
No, looking forward to this one a lot. I well documented how much I follow, especially Highland League, and to an extent the Lowland League. And there's a lot of clubs out there doing some great stuff. BSC is, in terms of, especially from a visual point of view on Twitter, always stands out to me. Some clever stuff being done there by Michael and the team, and the Lowland League as well. I've noticed quite a significant sort of tone of voice this season via social, so great to find out a bit more, and hopefully a few practical tips for a number of clubs up and down the lower leagues of Scotland and non-league to take home and hopefully see some improvements.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully get a bit of inspiration across the board, probably even for some SPFL clubs as well, hopefully. So let's get into it. Michael, give us a quick introduction to yourself and kind of how you arrived at your current roles.
I never really know my job title. I always call myself the media manager for the Scottish Lowland Football League, the Geosonic Lowland League, if you want to do that, or just whatever you want to call it, and BSC Glasgow, who are one of the teams in the Lowland League. I don't like to presume that people know who we are. Myself, I don't have a background in communications. It's just something that I've always kind of done as a hobby. And when I was at uni, I did a lot of communication stuff, and I've run websites, and I've done this, and I've done that. And eventually I thought, I really like football. I could probably do this as a job. And somebody was foolish enough to trust me. So, I mean, I'd been aware of BSC Glasgow on and off, just as this sort of odd thing that appeared on the internet occasionally, and I didn't really know anything about the Lowland League. And then I was on Sport Scotland one day, and it said, oh, we're looking for a programme editor or something like that. And I kind of went along and had a meeting with the chairman, Steve, and gave him, I would laughingly call it, like a content plan and a design plan for the programme. And he was just like, that's much more than I was looking for. There you go. Go and do it. We've got a game on Saturday. And I was like, okay, it's Wednesday, but whatever. And that was good fun. We started doing that, and then I started to pick up doing social media and things like that as well, because I wanted to not to sound like a control freak. I wanted to try and keep the program as close to the social media as I could. Yep. So running both was quite handy. And then it's just kind of progressed from there. We originally had like a match reporter that did match day stuff, and then he left when I left to go to the Lowland League, but I'll do that later. And now that I'm back, he's not there. So I ended up doing the match tweets, which has sort of devolved into me frantically running about on a Saturday afternoon, screaming at people, mainly myself.
I'm sure we'll get into that as well in a little while. But I think we're going to start off with kind of life at BSC then, moving on to the Lowland League later on. As you mentioned, what are you? What's the main objectives at BSC? What are you guys trying to achieve?
Probably growth and visibility, but less as a sort of weird ethereal construct, and more of a. It's like I said at the top of the show, a lot of people don't know who we are. A lot of people still don't, despite my best efforts. So
can you give us a brief summary of the history of BSC?
We were formed in 2004 as Broomhill Sports Club, which was a multi-sports youth organisation in the west end of Glasgow. So it offers football, netball, currently offers basketball as well. It's offered different sports over different times as tastes have changed. The kind of idea behind it was that the folk who formed it, who are still very much involved with the running of the club, didn't feel like there was enough sport for kids in schools. Then when it came down to forming a senior team, it became a case of there was a pathway up to about kind of under 20 level for the kids that were coming in, and then there was nowhere for them to go after that. So originally we joined the ranks of senior football in order to give kids a pathway to come up through Broomhill Sports Club and into BSC Glasgow. Latterly, obviously, because the punchline to this joke that we're probably building up to is that we actually play in Alloa at the Inderdrill Stadium, which is, it's really nice, but it's not Glasgow, you know? So a lot of our marketing objectives are based around, we're not in Glasgow, but, which is my main message going into things. Anytime I go into something, I'm going, we're not in Glasgow, but this. So it is an interesting sort of thing, because we want people to know that we think we're competitors in the league. We've kind of changed the way that we build the team. We've got a lot of people in the team that I think people would recognise. So we've got Stevie Murray, that used to play for Kilmarnock, who's very close to my heart, not just because he's small. We've got Martin Green, who used to play for Partick Thistle. We've got myriad people, Ross McMillan, who you might have known if you've followed Stenhousemuir, Ross Smith as well, who played for Stirling Albion last season. So slightly more experienced heads, I would say. So we're trying to put across to people that we're contenders for the league. We might not have shown it necessarily so far this season, but last season we finished third, and our previous best finish was seventh. So we're making movements on the pitch. Obviously, getting back to Glasgow is the main objective for the board. But my main objective is to keep us in a holding pattern and try and grow that little bit of support. But a lot of that is because we put so much focus in doing things online. It's more because we're not getting huge attendances, as you can probably imagine. People in Alloa are looking at us going, well, they're called BSC Glasgow. I imagine this is a temporary arrangement. And people in Glasgow are going, well, we can go and see X, Y, Z other club, so why would we travel to Alloa? And while I would love them to travel to Alloa, it's not really practical for a lot of people. So a lot of our objectives, like I say, are around building interest while not necessarily building attendance.
From a social point of view, what do you do as a club?
I was just like, oh no. From a social point of view, we try to be, I don't know whether I want to say we try to be weird, that just is me coming through. We try and do things that are a bit interesting. We try and be as bold visually as we can so that people are almost getting interested in us for the design aspect of the club, which is quite lame to actually say out loud. It's good in your head, but we want people to look at the club and go, wow, that looks really cool. And then on that beautiful day that we eventually return to Glasgow, I'm imagining a parade, I don't know, but we're going to have people that are like, oh, that's that club that do that thing on Twitter, or they do that thing on Facebook, or they have an Instagram with really weird captions and all that kind of stuff. We'll go along and see them because it's cheap. Like, the thing that we always have is affordable football, so doing that with BSC would be fantastic. It's just that wee bit harder because of where we are. So social-wise, we try and do as much as we can. It's resources and time are always a push at this level. So we probably don't do as much video as I would like. The players are obviously part-time, so you don't get as much access to them out with a match day as you might want. Like, I can imagine it's quite similar for yourself, Michael, in a sense. That,
yeah, but international weeks, we've only got realistically 2 days in a match week where we have to cram in as much as we can on top of all their other commitments to media and various people, sponsors. So it's always a challenge.
We train 2 nights a week and then play on a Saturday or whatever day, depending on whether Alloa are playing or not. But obviously you come along to train and you've got maybe like 15 minutes before, we did a kit launch for our kit, which actually came 4 weeks, 5 weeks after the season started, but that's a reality of life at this level. We tried to do a kit launch and I was running about with a camera going anybody that wasn't doing a drill, I was like, can you throw a shirt on and come here? Anybody that didn't look too sweaty. So that kind of thing keeps it entertaining and it keeps it a bit almost anarchic, but I try and not let that come through at the sort of finished product end, but it's good fun.
You mentioned obviously you're only with the players or for that small amount of time, but coming back to so just something you mentioned earlier as well, you met the chairman obviously, and within that week you were designing the programme. How do you get that buy-in from the leadership level of the club, and kind of how do you communicate with that level on a regular basis?
I'd like to think I'm very lucky, although I would like to think that everybody in my position at every club thinks the same. George Fraser, who's our general manager at BSC and also laterally the chairman of the Lowland League, which makes my life significantly easier, he is the person that I liaise with day to day. He takes a lot of... I actually asked him when you sent me the question what he thought I should say in this question. And he said something along the lines of, it's about giving me license to do the things and explore things that I want to do and not going, you know, there's stuff that I do that I'll send him if I think I'm sailing pretty close to the wind here. Okay. I'll send him it and go, is that okay? And half the time he comes back and goes, yeah. And half the time he comes back and goes, I'll phone a lawyer. So it's good fun from that point of view. It's like... I think it's when it's really just you, obviously we have a small team, but when it's me doing it, it's almost like the last thing you want to have to do is run something past everybody on the board, for example, to get buy-in. So them trusting me is fantastic because it gives me the ability to go, right, well, this is going to be fine. They're going to like this. And hopefully it comes across that way.
What channels do you focus on?
We focus on Twitter, in all honesty. We're starting to do a bit more with Instagram, but a lot of that comes down to the fact that we don't have a club photographer. So in a typical match day, if I can get a 5-minute lull, I'll either run down to the side, take as many photos as I possibly can, and act like I've been taking them the whole time. So I'll take 100 photos in 5 minutes and be like, one's usable, but whatever, that's the one that goes on the match report. So without a club photographer, it's quite difficult to do stuff. So if I get to training, we'll try and do little training bits or just people standing around having conversations. Or I tend to try and find people doing really weird things. Our goalkeeper, Stephen Barr, will hate me for saying this, but he's the best for capturing doing just really odd things. I captured him in a warm-up and he was just sort of trying to pick the ball up between his legs, but if he'd stood up he would have knocked himself over, and I just put it on Twitter and just on my own Twitter, because I was I can't put that on the club site, he'll annoy me. But yeah, there's a lot of personality at this level as well, so there's an ability to kind of come in and get that across as well. So
I wanted to quickly touch on a bit more of the, I think we can call it content, in terms of the move into esports and working with Mozza, who is obviously a football manager, player, and streamer.
Yep.
And does he do YouTube as well? Maybe.
I don't think he does do YouTube.
Okay.
No.
But yeah, obviously he's probably a good friend of yours now, and you've had conversations with him and you've kind of recruited him to play as a club.
Take us
through that decision.
That was one of the ones that I had to go to a few people and go, this is a good idea, trust me. Doing esports at our level is pretty ridiculous, if you're honest. Like,
bold.
We're not in FIFA. You can't play as in Pro Evo. You can't really play as in Football Manager unless, ironically, you unlock the leagues using Moz's unlock mod.
Yeah.
So originally, I'd sort of heard his online moniker through downloading that mod, because I was like, oh, I'm going to play as... can't remember who it was I wanted to play as. Doesn't really matter now. And I always remember thinking, what a strange thing for somebody to sit and spend their time doing. But also, that's really cool.
It's good, because all the Highland League teams, all the Lowland League teams.
Exactly, that's fantastic. And it's really nice that somebody takes the time. And as I sort of grew BSC, I noticed this guy appearing, and I was like, I wonder if that's the same guy. So I started kind of having a talk with him, and he was trying to put together stuff. And at the time, when Football Manager would approach us for approach the league, this was before I worked for them, for squads and things, they would go, what is this mysterious Football Manager? And not really get anywhere with them. And he came to me directly and said, well, I'm doing this, can I have your squad? So I sent him absolutely everything that I had on every member of our squad, right down to their heights and their photos. And I was like, if you want to put that in the game, go ahead. That's fantastic. And then going back in January, once I started back with BSC, I was like, well, why not have somebody play as BSC? Why not see how far we could go in, I always call it the Mozaverse. I don't think he necessarily likes that, but I do it anyway. Somewhere where esports is a huge business area for people, but it's also an area where we can... Moz is a total evangelist for the Lowland League. He's an evangelist for BSC. He talks about us on... Even if he's not streaming our save game, he talks about us. He wears his, BSC trackie, and he, chats to people about the Lowland League. I'm pretty sure, he stops people in supermarkets to tell them about what Galliferradine Rovers have been up to. And that's fantastic. That is so brilliant. And that's exactly the kind of person that you want to encourage to take not just an interest in the league and the club, but a more active role in actually being part of it. So it was slightly a no-brainer in the sense that we wanted him involved, but it was, how do you make that a thing? And how do you make it so that people are going to engage with it? Because obviously it's quite difficult. It's actually quite awkward for him to, his latest one is that he's just made the SPFL playoffs, whereas we're sitting in, I think, 7th in the league at the time of recording. So it's quite awkward when you're talking to the manager and you're like, well, he's doing quite well with Football Manager, but it's quite weird in a way, because a lot of the players are sort of looking at it and going, oh, that's really weird. Why did he sell me? That kind of stuff. And you're like, it's fun. And I think that's, at the end of the day, we're trying to engage people that wouldn't necessarily be engaged with BSC Glasgow. So people that go onto Twitch and watch Moza stream either our game or something else, and they're hearing about the Lowland League and hearing about this weird team that play in yellow and have Stevie Murray, who everybody thought retired 5 years ago. It's fantastic. And we are getting just maybe not the beginnings, but we're sort of in this little lull of, or this sort of little growth of people that are talking about BSC and talking about the Lowland League that maybe knew nothing about it before. I like the idea that I don't think we're ever going to supplant, unless more of us make it further up the leagues, I don't think we're ever necessarily going to supplant people's first teams. Obviously there are sort of famous old names down in the Lowland League, I'm sure we'll touch on that later, that have, they support that club. For BSC, we're not going to get that. We're not going to get somebody turning around and going, one of our volunteers did go, he gave up his season ticket at a very famous Glasgow club and now just comes to BSC every week. That's great, but you're not always going to get people like that. You might get people that come to the game when their team's away, or you might get people that are like, this is my third team below Juventus or whatever they've chosen or whatever makes them happy. So the idea that we would have loads of supporters that live in anywhere in the world is great, because they have the same chance of coming along as anyone else.
No, definitely, yeah.
Which is always entertaining.
I think we wanted to just finish up on BSC with a walkthrough, a match day for you. You've already touched on it that it's quite hectic, but where does it start and where does it end? And take us through it all.
So it's just you that does the match day, is it?
In a sense, yeah. Social on a match day is just me. Martin Fleming is our match reporter, so he either sits just like... One of the beauties of playing in Alloa is that we get to play at the Enderdale Stadium, which is a fantastic stadium for our level, so it is a heated press box. So it depends very much on the kind of day it is, whether Martin sits in the press box with me or sits out on his own regaling people with tales of his various week. Therefore... are sort of like we're really happy to be there in a sense, so a lot of the day is frantically trying to juggle BSC in the Lowland League, to be honest. That's where a lot of the stress comes in, because I mean I kind of get to the stadium about 1:30, and that's usually a time that I can set up and have a chat with whoever's there, so chat to the kit man, see what's going on, get a few like photos of, you know, just in case I don't get photos of the warm-up or photos of the game, I can take photos of a random goalpost or something that I can be like, that'll do. That's basically beautiful stock footage. I can use that as a header for a match report, that kind of thing, and then get a chance to chat with Martin and kind of talk to him about what he's been up to in terms of the match reports, and he does previews, and we don't generally speak and do a programme this season, but we've got two games coming up close together. So he's been working with me to put together like a flip double issue, yep. Which is way more difficult than I actually had envisaged, but it's hopefully going to work. I haven't tried printing it yet, but we'll see. So chatting to him about stuff like that and trying to get an idea of how he thinks the game's going to go, which is always quite handy for me because it's quite nice to have a second opinion, because I always go into games fearing the worst, regardless of who we're playing. Then I would say maybe about 1:45, 2:00, we start playing music, which is another benefit of being at the end row. We have a great PA system, and then that gives us a wee lull to catch up with the players and staff when they come in, and folk from other clubs, because the beauty of the Lowland League is as well, like other committees and stuff, you gain, like you sort of make pals with them. Certain clubs we're really, really close with, and it's great to see them when they come in. It's not just a sort of like customary, yes, good to see you, no, lovely time. So it's always nice to catch up and kind of see how their season's going as well. And then I usually look at my watch and realise it's 1:30 and I need to get all the lineup tweets and the lineup graphic done, get hold of the opposition team sheet to get their thing, check for any spelling mistakes, because I am absolutely paranoid of making a mistake with another player's name as if I don't respect them enough. Because I've seen it happen before and I'm sort of like just in the horrors about it. So I'm always going around going, is that definitely how you spell his name? Which takes up way more time than it should, but it's fine. And then the match itself kicks off and I lose it. I just go into 45 minutes of whatever I've done. And then when the halftime whistle goes, we... Generally speaking, everybody goes in for a coffee and a prawn sandwich, and I start like frantically refreshing the live score thing that we have for the Lowland League, which means that I can then make the graphic, which we put out at halftime, and desperately hope that nobody's like forgotten to put in a last minute goal, because you always get somebody tweet you going, it's actually 3-0 down there, and you're like, all right, cool. I wish they told me.
We had that at the Scottish Cup first round, and there was one game that didn't have a score through, and you're getting to like now 5-4, it's the second half's kicking off soon, and you're just going, you had to make the call. Like, I ended up putting in L's, just like it was a late result coming through, and just go with it, because you can only hold on so long.
Yep.
Until you're going, nah, I need to bite the bullet here.
Yeah, we get it becomes a lot more interesting in the winter as well, because a few of our clubs don't have floodlights, a lot of the games kick off at 2, so by the time 3:45 comes around, some of the games are almost finished. Some of them are just half time. So I just put latest on everything. I'm just like, leave it, just walk away. But that was one of the things when I came into the Lowland League, I kind of got the impression that people would value a bit more immediacy from it. So we try and do it as quickly as we can. And it's just a matter of kind of waiting for clubs and getting that kind of stuff out. And then that gives me the opportunity to start like getting into the back end of the Lowland League website and getting ready for the full times so that we can get that updated as quickly as possible. It's a lot to fit into 15 minutes, and it usually means that I forget to start the music again. And then after the game, that gets, it's a wee bit hectic because you've got, we have, it's like a WordPress back end that we use for the site. So you go through, put in each individual score you want to make sure that, or I want to make sure that that's in within about 10 minutes of the game, because the way I look at it is people are going to be coming out of the match. They might have said bye to their friends or whatever, or got back to the car, and they'll be thinking, where are we in the league table? So you want them to be able to check it as quickly as possible and see where they're at. Then I do the graphic to send out, and then do the league table tweet itself. So get them scheduled. And then obviously we've got, like, in between that, there's BSE graphics and stuff that I want to make sure that I do, because there's nothing more frustrating than when you're waiting on a half-time and then you think, that's my half-time. I haven't done that. And then afterwards, we don't have, like, huge banks of media, obviously, waiting to talk to people at the end of games. So if there are any reporters there, make sure they know, like, who they want to talk to, where they need to go. And then grab Stephen Swift as our manager to have a chat with Martin, and hope that he hasn't forgotten who he is. Get them together, have a chat, get a man of the match from Martin and try and get him an interview with him as well, which then adds a bit of colour to the match report as well, which we try and add the audio in as well, so that if somebody's using a screen reader or something, they can actually hear the interview at the end, which is...
I don't think I'm ever going to say I'm stressed on match day ever again.
Then I generally have a coffee.
That's impressive.
And I calm down.
I don't usually calm down until about midnight. But
I thought you were going to say Monday there.
Oh no, I got, like, Sunday starts a whole other thing, but I won't get into that.
Yeah, so, like, that's a lot for one person, or obviously Martin's here as well. But, like, with the Lowland League, do you get ever support with the Lowland League?
Yeah, the Lowland League is... I don't want to make it sound like I do everything, because I absolutely don't. Over the course of a week, like, when I first started at the Lowland League, I did do everything, and I came dangerously close to completely burning out, because you're doing what I thought would be easy, and my irritating hubris was to turn around and go, oh, it's just 16 times the work, it'll be fine. Because it does feel like you're almost... especially at that level where you're kind of being a cheerleader for everybody, you don't want a club to feel left behind just because they're not top of the league. So I try as much as I possibly can to get everybody involved and try and, like, talk about every team. So when I was doing that on my own, I was losing it. I was trying to write a match preview for 8 games, and then write a roundup for 8 games. And then obviously do graphics and try and keep things fresh and interesting on social as well over the course of that time, and do all the match stuff in the back end and that kind of thing, which it wasn't feasible going forward, shall we say. So I got a few volunteers involved at the tail end of last season who helped out a lot, probably more than they needed to. And then at the start of this season, we did, like, a really big volunteer drive to try and say to people, come and help me. God, please help me. And thankfully, like, the people that have come on board, so I'd feel bad if I didn't name check them. So you've got Alistair, you've got Chris, Craig, Derek, Jordan, Lewis, Martin and Ronan, some of whom overlap into other things, some of whom I've just given away their actual real names rather than their online monikers. Sorry, boys. But they do amazing work. They do the catch-up podcast. They do the roundup. They do the preview for me. And they're all, you know, sort of, like, some of them are student journalists. Some of them are trying to build a profile for themselves, doing other stuff. They don't have to do this. Like, one of them is, like, this guy, Alistair. He's a Livingston fan, and now they're in the Premiership. He can't be bothered going to see them anymore. So he tries going to, like, Lowland League games. He's never been to one before. And he starts writing about them, and he put one up on his blog to start with and kind of tagged us in it. And I was like, that's fantastic. Come and do it for us. Come and talk about the experience of going to your first Lowland League game.
Yeah.
Because it's not quite like anything else. There's some games you walk in and there's about 20 other people there and you're like, that's weird. And then by the end of it, you're like, I'm coming back. That's like, it gets you hooked. I'm not totally sure what it is. It might be something in the water, but yeah, it's good fun. And so they take on a lot of the writing side of it, and I do the, you know, the design stuff and the social media and the liaison kind of side of it, and the strategy, if you can call it that.
Can we talk about that kind of strategy for a second as well? Like,
no, absolutely not.
You mentioned that, is it George that's also at...
Yeah, George is the chairman of the Lowland League board, and the board themselves have always been really supportive of me as well, because they do have much the same attitude as BSE in that anything I want to try, they pretty much let me try, provided, you know, within reason. So we've been very lucky with that. In terms of supporting things like Rainbow Laces and stuff, it's not, it doesn't become bogged down in a big discussion, and it's just like, right, let's go and do it. So it's excellent from that point of view. But having George, like, from a personal point of view, having George come on board as the chairman, when I talk to him, when I bend his ear every day, like, there must be some days he wishes he could just block my number. So having, just being able to sort of add that on is fantastic. It's really good.
Do you find that's what has to happen a lot at your level in terms of getting buy-in and just pushing the dial a little bit and just keep knocking on the door?
I think so. I think I'm quite lucky in that I get a lot of support from the board, and I get a lot of positive feedback on pretty much everything that I put forward. I think there are a lot of clubs, not necessarily in our league, I would say probably higher up than us, and, you know, at sort of other levels around us, that are kind of just happy to be, and aren't looking to change what they're doing. The Lowland League is obviously kind of got a spike of popularity thanks to all these clubs coming from the junior teams, or coming from the junior leagues into the East of Scotland Football League, which has gone from, I can't remember off the top of my head how many clubs it was last season, but it's gone up to 39 over three conferences. So there are a lot of fans of big clubs that are looking at our league going, well, what are they doing? Why do we want to be part of that? So a lot of our focus this season has been affordable football. The most expensive admission in our division is £8 for an adult. Generally speaking, it's around the 7 or 6 mark for everybody, and a few are cheaper than that. So, and a lot of clubs have under 16s free edusport, for example, or £2 concessions, and something like Armed Forces, Emergency Services, under 16s are all free. So a lot of clubs really, really take that affordability seriously, because at the end of the day, we're able to provide what I think is a really good level of football for the amount of money that you pay to go and see it.
You've gone over quite a lot of what you do there, and there's a lot of time that goes into that. Uh-huh. With roughly, how many hours do you think you put in a week? Bear in mind, you're doing dual role between Lowland League and BSE.
Yep. And I also work full-time as well. So between the two, I think it's probably about 20 hours, something like that. And it's a lot. I'm not going to lie and say that it's not a lot of work, and I absolutely adore every minute of it, because there's sometimes you're like, I just want to go home and do nothing for a bit. But it genuinely is such an interesting job, and I feel really privileged to be able to do it, even if it is just part-time, being able to go into work and sort of talk to people about football and talk to people about football that they've never really heard about, and be able to say, you know, like, this is incredible, go and see it. And folk do. And I wouldn't, like, follow me for timekeeping tips if you're going to follow me on Twitter or something, but it's a lot of work. But a lot of it is thankfully taken up, or like a lot of these dangling threads, things that I wanted to do last season that I couldn't, have been picked up by the volunteers, who I just can't state enough how brilliant they all are, because they do so much work. Like, even at BSE on a match day, like, we obviously pay Martin a wee bit for a match report, but there's John, Andrew and Callum, who are like father and son's team who run all of our hospitality and the turnstile and stuff and make sure people feel welcome when they come along. Like, the number of people who volunteer in the league, the number of people who volunteer right across the Lowland League and make it what it is, are the reason that we're having a bit of success right now. Because if they weren't there doing that at their clubs, if they weren't there doing that for our website, talking about it in Pine Bovril or talking about it wherever, there wouldn't be a league. If you're not generating enough interest, eventually interest wanes and you die. So everybody that volunteers their time, whether they're just, you know, working at a club, whether they're doing turnstiles or whatever, or whether they're, you know, doing podcasts like the Catch Up and stuff, everybody makes such a valuable contribution and it's brilliant. It makes the time that I put in worth it.
Something that has caught my attention, and just if you have any tips on it at all, then we'll go into that just now, but it's the tone of voice across both
right.
BSC and Lowland League this season. I think a lot of Scottish clubs could probably take quite a fair bit of like inspiration from it. Because it, like I said, it's really caught my attention this season, and Michael, you as well. We mentioned it before starting. I think it's really unique, and it's quite Scottish in a way as well, I reckon anyway.
The voices that we use, like, I think the tone of voice that you use for social is so important, and it's, ever since I've been working in this field in communications or whatever, it's been the most important thing to me. And if I go and talk to a client, or if I go and talk to somebody, or I'm talking to the board, it's always about how we come across. It's always about how we talk about ourselves, and it's about how we present ourselves generally. I think possibly my tone of voice between these two accounts is a bit more natural than other ones. I don't know, because when you're doing it, you're not really thinking about it. You kind of have, this is going to sound so lame, but it's almost like playing a character. It just so happens that the two characters that I'm playing on these are basically me. Generally speaking, when you're doing communications, I've always found that you change based on the client. So if you've got a really sort of prim and proper, quite stoic client, then you're quite somber in your delivery because you want to reflect the way that they want to be seen. With BSC especially, we don't really have a way that we want to be seen. The club doesn't have a generally set ethos. We do have things that we value, but generally speaking, we're quite free and easy about how we're seen, and therefore I'm quite free and easy about how I put that across. With the Lowland League, I'm just trying to be fun, because like I say, like I think probably the weirdest thing is I'm really, I don't know if you've noticed, I get quite into anything that I do. So I'm really into it. Like, I really enjoy doing the job. So I like that to come through, rather than saying, here are the results from, you know, like, well, why not have fun with it? Because I'm having fun with it. So why shouldn't you? If you're paying £7 to go in, a tenner for your whole day, and you're not having fun, and you've seen like 6 goals or something, what's wrong with you? Yeah, that's kind of the attitude that I take, and it's kind of sometimes the way that I actually put it across. Like, I don't see why people wouldn't have fun going to these games.
Cool, and I know, and I've seen it especially at that level where Twitter kind of caught up and bypassed a lot of clubs, and a number of clubs for a while had official accounts, but there was a lot of clubs that had been run by fans.
Yep.
That have transitioned into probably official accounts, if you like.
Yeah, definitely.
But you can still see elements of the fan coming through in them.
Yeah. I think you see that a lot in the Highland League. There's a lot of, like, clearly folk that absolutely love it, and that comes through. I'd just try and add, like, a wee bit of my career to that, or my career path to that, and add that wee bit of extra. But, I mean, a lot of the clubs as well, like, to give everybody their due in the league, since I started at BSC like a couple of years ago now, a lot of the time you got nothing during the week. You might get the odd tweet, and it would usually be about like an announcement about something. So if there was a postponement, or one of the turnstiles was broken, or the toilets had disintegrated or anything like that, rather than people trying to talk positively about the club. And I don't think that's just been me. I think that's been the massive shift towards social, and towards clubs talking positively about themselves, that a lot of our clubs have really, really taken that on board and run with it. And there's a few that do fantastic work. There's some that do excellent work for the resources that they have. There's some that don't do anything, but that's their choice.
Who would you call out as you've seen doing good stuff on social?
I love Galliferradine Rovers. I think like they have a really easy ethos. Like they have that stand at Netherdale, and if you've not seen it, then go and Google the Netherdale stand, because it's this, I think it's beautiful, this A-listed concrete monstrosity, this behemoth. And it's like when you're driving down the road, you drive past the rugby club and you can't see it, and then boom, there's just this thing in front of you. It's beautiful.
I'm sure there was a piece in one of the Nutmegs.
Yeah, and I really like the way that they almost translate that kind of architecture, that kind of design ethos, into the way that they do their social and the way that their program's incredible. For example, you go down there and it would kick, I would say, 75-80% of SPFL sides in the head. It's incredible. The amount of work that goes into it, the amount of craftsmanship, the design of it is just beautiful. I'd love to say that I've never looked at it and been jealous, but I super am. So yeah, I'm always impressed by what they do, and they have similar resources to ours. They, I think, maybe have like slightly more access to the players because of the like locality, because obviously I don't have a lot of time to get to training twice a week, but a lot of the time, like, the stuff that they do is just excellent. And even when they have like a wee misstep or something, they know, like, they change it. It's great. You don't see them do the same thing twice. Love it.
Okay. From your point of view, when you're doing your activity on social, what tools do you use?
Generally speaking, I do all my scheduling and stuff on Buffer. I swear by Buffer. I love Buffer. I'll use it for absolutely anything if I could. Use analytics for monitoring. We use Photoshop and design. I'm trying to teach myself Lightroom, but as you can see from the photos that we put up on BSE, not very well. You know, even things like using Google Drive to share documents and stuff is fantastic as well. Like going back maybe even like 5 years or something, we used to running a website was a nightmare because you couldn't go in and like live edit something for somebody and show them what you wanted to change and that kind of thing. Doing that kind of thing is brilliant now.
Even the, like you mentioned, you're in Photoshop just playing around quite a lot. Even the visual identity of the Lowland League is quite eye-catching for me.
We've been through a couple of iterations on that one for this season. Originally, I started off with this idea in my head of doing like a sort of Miami Vice sort of 80s style and making it like really vivid, like cyan, yellow, pink, sort of nifty fonts, neon, stuff like that. And it was working to an extent, but I also really loved that kind of crushed paper thing that we use a lot. So it didn't really look good together. The other thing was as well that a lot of like, it didn't look very serious. When we were putting things out, I think a lot of people were looking at it going, what the hell is that? That's weird. Like, I'm not clicking on that. So we've sort of refined it a wee bit back. We put in a bit more of the dark blue and the green from the logo. We've tried to keep the neon though, so like our affordable football graphics and stuff have this sort of nifty neon glow effect in the titles and that kind of thing, whereas, you know, like the articles and stuff are on sort of a more newspapery look. I think one of the beauties of being at this level is that you can refine things without having to get it right first time. Don't be afraid to go into something and say that didn't work or that doesn't look quite right, because nobody's going to turn around to you and go, why have you changed that?
Yeah.
Obviously we had a chance to get a second crack at it. Generally I try and keep it as much as I can, because a lot of the stuff pre-season is making templates and stuff for these kind of things, so spending that bit of time and going through and sort of playing about is your pre-season, and then everything else is just get it in there, get it out. But with Selkirk withdrawn from the league, obviously that was really sad, but in terms of design it gave me a chance to go back and say, well, I've got to remove references from a lot of things, so it might be a good time to sort of rethink how we're going to put that across, which we did.
Perfect, yeah. I think any other clubs or organisations out with of Scotland or the Lowland League that you wanted to quickly call out that you get kind of your inspiration from?
Well, obviously there's a lot of clubs in the Scottish Premiership that do good stuff, but I think they have resources to kind of take an idea and say, you know, they have resources to take an idea and say, that's wild, but let's give it a try, which is nice for them. Edinburgh City in League Two have just rebranded with, was it Ryan McGuinness?
Yep.
His stuff is awesome. And the way they're using that is brilliant as well, because for them to embrace that in the way that they have is absolutely fantastic. But I love looking at stuff that North American clubs do, so MLS, NASL when that was going in the USL. Like, I love Las Vegas Lights. I don't know if you keep an eye on them. Yeah. They are wild, and I love it. Like, see, having just the idea of doing like a pre-match squad photo and having a llama, they're quality, love it, can't get enough of it. They do all this really weird stuff, and you're just sort of looking at it going, how do you... It's almost like you're sitting there thinking, how do you think of that? And then you're like, hang on, these are these thoughts that I have at 3 a.m. that I don't think could ever happen. And then you start writing them down and you think, can I go to George and say, can we have a BSC llama? Is that...
Fred, it's taken something like a squad photo and thrown away the rule book and going to somebody that's never seen a squad photo before, try to explain the concept and seeing what they come up with. And it's just looking at... It's not disrupting, if you like, but it's just taking it and going, why do we have to do the same thing that everybody else is doing? Why do we have to follow because that's the way it's been done by
everybody? I think a lot of clubs, and I notice it maybe a lot in lower reaches of the SPFL, have taken this sort of idea that this is the way that we do things, and everything has a structure. And I'm still quite guilty of it as using like an emoji and a pipe. And then the message. I still quite like that. I think that's good. But loads of folk do it. And it can be played with, and you can play with it. Like, you don't have to use a, you know, you don't have to use a little newspaper emoji if you've got news. You can use something weird. But, you know, there are sort of almost unwritten rules for how these things are done, and squad photos is one of them. Gala, I don't want to totally just, like, mack on Gala all night, but they did... a squad photo where they did their serious, very serious face squad photo, but they also had one where their kit man, I think it was their kit man, might have been one of their coaches, was wearing like this grotesque mask, and everybody was just sort of like that. It wasn't even like they were all sort of sitting stoically, they were all sort of like creeping away from him. That was great. Like, just anything that subverts what you expect is the kind of thing that you're going to go into it and you're like, well, what was that? What did I just see there?
We probably wanted to just finish up the chat with just some general tips. Michael, you feel free to chime in with some Scottish FA examples that you've had, or even stuff from elsewhere.
Do you know what? It's not just Scottish FA examples. It's things I've done in previous jobs or when doing side projects or whatever else. And look, these are in no particular order, but hopefully if there's one or two that people pick up on, then great. Start with imagery. You mentioned Photoshop. I think I've mentioned it in a previous podcast. I think it was the one on paid social. Robin. I'm a big fan of Canva. For those that are not as skilled in Photoshop, it's free. You can use images. You can be a bit more creative. There's plenty of videos on YouTube for how-tos and being a bit more advanced in it. So yeah, a great option there. When you're doing images, hopefully I'm not telling people how to suck eggs or whatever else, but this is general rules that we follow too when it comes to image sizes. So on Twitter, we stick to 1600 by 900 where we can. On Facebook and Instagram, 1080 by 1080. Other people will have their own rules. Other clubs will just go with what they do, which is great. But if you're looking for a bit of conformity, that's what we do. You mentioned Buffer for scheduling. A tweet deck, Hootsuite, Facebook's got schedule functions as well. If you've got a business page, don't be scared to schedule something for later on in the evening. And we did a bit of analysis on our stuff, and
believe it or not, I think it was something like 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. was one of our peak times for Scotland national team content. Or this was on Facebook, sorry, and then later on at night, I think 8 o'clock. So, yeah, okay, we'll post stuff out during the day, but we've got to take into consideration a lot of people are 9 to 5, they're not on social media unless they're probably procrastinating at work, but we try to, where we don't need to put something out straight away, we'll schedule it for a busy time or busier time, commutes home, etc. So don't be scared to experiment with it.
I think even these days as well, obviously chronological order is not the order of the day on social media either. So like you look at things like Facebook, Instagram, even I think Twitter's maybe trying to go back towards that in the next couple of weeks, maybe months or so. But yeah, I think anything can basically come up on your timeline at any other point these days.
Yeah, and to be fair, I can imagine a lot of clubs like yourself are doing this after in the evenings anyway, so it's a natural time to put out. But again, on the reverse, you could flip out for going out during the day if need be. Talking of putting things out and live tweeting matches, for example, I know, Chris, me and you have spoke about this at various times. Personally, like to see a score on live tweeting, especially as you go down the leagues where your scores are not very available. So just putting that score in brackets at the end or however you want to present it at the end is very useful for people that are following from a distance. You might not think it at the time because you're at the game, but it is a big help, and I hear that quite a lot.
I would just add to that as well, like the way round of who's playing as well, because obviously as a, well, more as a neutral coming at it and following a lot of clubs, you don't always know who the home team or the away team are and what order the score should be. So even just like a little identifier to say who's who, I think that can go a long way on tweets.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We usually just do us first, but there's no actual, like, I've never said that. So
yeah.
At national team, we'll do it the way we're playing. So if we're the away team, we're the second scorer, and if we're the home. But again, you're right, as a neutral, and again, hopefully we're not coming across as patronising. It's just some ideas just to throw out into the mix. I'd also, if you are a team, especially in the lower reaches, do you really have to live tweet your under-20s game? Do you really have to live tweet a youth game? That's I see it. It's great, but realistically, your audience maybe wants half-time updates, full-time updates. I know we've taken the conscious effort for a lot of our youth squads, that's what we'll do. I mean, I think I've mentioned this on the Scottish Cup one, or I've mentioned this at another time. Scottish Cup finals, we've even pulled ourselves back from live tweeting every single incident in a Scottish Cup final and semi-final, mainly because we know everybody else is covering it, and we'll go for a different tack to images, etc. Now, I know not everybody's obviously going to be covering a youth match or whatever else, but also think of your audience and what they're seeing, and this is what leads into the next one is, have a look and use things like Twitter analytics, Facebook insights, and just see how many people are actually seeing those tweets or how many people are actually seeing those Facebook updates. And you know what? You might actually save yourself a lot of time when you're at that under-20s game that you can just enjoy the game and you can just do the live score updates. There might be a demand for it at each club, and each club's different. And again, that's where you understand. We talked about it on show one.
Yep.
When you understand more about the insights and the research around the fans. So don't be scared to go and ask fans what they're after. And by doing that, Twitter poll functionality. If you can't get in face-to-face, ask on Twitter. Would you prefer live updates? Would you prefer this at a game? Would you use that more? Mark Bradley, we had on talking about fan experience. Use your likes of your Twitter and Facebook as a way of garnering feedback. I know I can't go past a Twitter poll without voting on it. But people are willing to help. We knew that, as Mark said. Use social media to do that. A couple more, I promise. I won't carry on here. Talked about at length in the last couple of podcasts, nostalgia. I know a number of different clubs do it well. I've seen a number of clubs at lower level do it. I think East Fife do a bit of On This Day stuff on their Facebook. Again, we know it works. It can work well. So again, don't be scared to try that. And The other thing I've got here is around video. I know, again, this comes down to resource, and I know at BSC you don't do too much video, but there is a lot of clubs out there that are producing a lot of video content. And just to name a couple, Forfar, I know East Kilbride, Bonnie Rig Rose, Kelly Hearts, they've all got their version of their own TV channels and putting content out, which is great. If you've got a chance, post your highlights natively on Facebook as well as doing it on YouTube. And admittedly, if you don't have a Twitter media studio, you're sort of limited in your length on Twitter. But if you're doing a post-match interview with a manager or a player and it's under 2 minutes 20 or whatever it is, and you've got time and the resource to do it, get it out natively. It'll help you get more views. And yeah, that's really sort of a quick rattle through of looking at it. The only other thing I had on video, just looking at my notes here, it was, I know I touched on some of those clubs to do a lot of post-match interviews. You said Martin does a lot of post-match interviews for you guys as well. Don't be scared to maybe look at how do you take that and put it on video, working just even with an iPhone. I know BBC, STV in the past have used iPhones to use content. If you are going to try going down that line, best suggestion is landscape all the time. Also, you can get things on Amazon, gimbals and whatever else to help stabilise it. But my recommendation, and this is purely resource-based, if you've got someone that can film it and then someone who's separate that can ask the questions, the output will be there. But again, I've seen it on the BBC. Kenny Crawford's a big one for it on the BBC, for example. It's a one-man operation with the iPhone. It is doable. It'll take a bit of practice. But if you want to add something extra and you've got that resource or time to do that on a match day, yeah, go for it and put it out natively.
Is that you finished, Dan?
I think so, yeah.
Perfect. Michael, did you have anything else that you wanted to finish up on before we kind of usually end the pod with our examples?
I think I have talked your ears off enough, but thank you for the opportunity.
No problems. Regular listeners will know that we like to finish up with a few examples. I'll go first, seeing as you've just spoken for a bit, Michael. First up, you've already mentioned, Michael, MLS, Major League Soccer, obviously, in America. I subscribe to the kind of daily email that they have, and I know if you regularly or have any knowledge of of MLS at all, you'll know that they have a lot of resource available to them across the clubs as well that play in the league. But they just send a kind of daily email with regular updates on kind of goings on around the league, around the clubs, around even just general football in North America as well. And I know, Michael, we've had a chat about, we want to talk about email marketing on the podcast at some point. So if any of the clubs, anybody at clubs listening are looking for a bit of inspiration, then MLS, again, as usual, one to look at there. And touching on video content, just before I finish up, yourselves, Scottish FA, put a pretty incredible video out very recently with Paul McNeil, obviously kind of showcasing the absolute power of football, and I think it's rightly blown up, especially on Twitter. I think so. It was just amazing to watch.
Yeah, that video has overwhelmed everybody that has been connected with it. Numbers, we had a target for a series, because this is one of a series, and we do these things, and for us the importance is getting that message out about football and the difference it can make to people. And we put numbers, targets to it, but we're not too fast if we hit them or not, but it gives us something to work towards. And in the first 24 hours, that surpassed the whole series target. Paul's a great guy, an absolutely fantastic human being. And his positivity and what he's gone through to get to where he is, is a fascinating insight into his life. It's great that when you do a bit of content like that and the message that you've been trying to get across in it is actually resonating with your audience, goes far beyond how many views you get, whatever else. And the feedback we've been getting is great. And
We've got a few more in that series to come out, so hopefully that message can continue throughout. Mine are funny enough, I'm just looking at these, they're actually a lot shirt related. My first one was Atlanta in Italy. I seen this a little while ago and I'd actually forgot to mention it on a previous podcast, but they in Bergamo, and hopefully I pronounced that right, in Italy, they send a replica shirt to every newborn that's born in the
town. That's awesome. So I really like that.
You're born as a, you might be from a family that are Milan or whoever else supporters, but they'll give you an Atlanta from birth. So I loved that. St Johnston had a retro jersey day a couple of weeks ago. Love to see more of that. I know in the NRL, and I think again we've mentioned this on a previous podcast, the NRL in Australia will have retro jersey weekends. They'll have they have a partnership with Marvel in the past. Don't know if they still do, but the limited edition superhero jerseys for that weekend. They'll have Indigenous Australian weekend. So they have themed weekends and just one club. And I know it would be great down the line if we start seeing more of this sort of thing across the league. And yeah, the final one was Notts County. They rewarded, I think they were playing away to Exeter. So the first 50 away fans that came through the gate, they gave them a free match worn shirt. Again, just rewarding the fans, a bit of a surprise and delight. But a lot of this stuff, as we know, can go a long way with fans and just make them feel that a little bit extra special. So, yeah, that was my free with a shirt theme this week.
Like it. Yeah, well, that finishes us up there. Michael, thank you very much for coming on. I think it was absolutely fascinating.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm sure there's plenty of takeaways for anybody listening. And a bit of an insight as well into kind of what's going on at the Lone League and at BFC Glasgow. Michael, again, we'll catch up next time.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, everybody.